Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme this evening, I'll be speaking to David D'Arcy, Communications Director with a campaign entitled Irish for Europe. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines in Ireland, and we'll have some great music from Germany and France for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme, Europe Today. A major education programme is to commence in Blanchardstown, Dublin next month, aimed at assisting immigrants to integrate and find work in Ireland. Titled English Language Skills for Work Purposes, it will help the hundreds of new residents to compile CVs and improve their written and spoken English. Assessment tests will take place in Blanchardstown Library on July the 5th. Siobhan Walsh of the Europe Direct Information Centre says the course is designed to assist our immigrants integrate into Irish society.
The course is called English Language Skills for Work Purposes, and it's really to help people who are searching for work to learn about CV building, job searching, and to improve their professional English language skills to help them apply for work.
EU finance ministers have agreed a new set of proposals to tackle corporate tax avoidance. Under new measures agreed in Brussels recently, each member state will have to impose greater transparency to ensure that corporate companies pay their fair share. The new measures, which are expected to take effect next year, are designed to prevent profit shifting to no-tax or low-tax countries. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the key principle of the new measure is that companies will pay tax in the country where they earn their profits.
Well, they've decided to go ahead with the Commission's proposals to make companies pay more of their tax where they make their profits. And so the companies can't play off one country against another and end up paying very little tax at all.
The European Consumer Centre is advising Irish tourists to double-check the small print on contracts if hiring cars abroad on holidays over the coming months. It says it is receiving a growing number of complaints about hidden costs that are added onto bills when cars are returned to hire companies. The centre says in some cases car hire companies persuade renters to purchase unnecessary add-on products. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says the area of insurance tends to be the most contentious.
Insurance related product was one of the area of the most complaint last year. Consumers being pressurized at the rental location to buy expensive products in addition to compulsory covers, or they claim that those products were added to their rental without their knowledge.
The European Commission has agreed to amend existing measures to strengthen the rights of airline passengers. As part of the new proposals, airlines will have to provide compensation for passengers where flight delays occur. Compensation will also be paid if a passenger is delayed on arrival due to missing a connecting flight. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the new measures will ensure that consumers won't be out of pocket in the event of flight delays.
Well, the Commission has summarised and clarified all the rules and made it very clear that there's a right to compensation after a delay of 3 hours at your final destination, that there's a right to compensation for a missed connecting flight, and that you have a right to assistance and care during an exceptional event like the ash cloud of 2010.
The Republic of Ireland granted the second highest level of citizenship in the EU during 2014, according to new figures from Eurostat. The rate of new citizenships granted here per 1,000 persons was 4.6%, just behind Luxembourg on 5.8% and slightly ahead of Sweden on 4.5%. 21,104 non-EU persons became Irish citizens in 2014. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the most new citizens from any one country came from Nigeria.
Ireland is up there with Sweden, Spain and Luxembourg in terms of the number of citizenships granted per head of population. Most of these are to non-EU people. Nigeria ranks very highly and followed by India and the Philippines. But it shows Ireland is much more international than it used to be.
The Fine Gael MEP Mairead McGuinness is urging banks to show more sensitivity to farmers when it comes to repaying their loans. Her comments follow the recent decision by Glanbia to establish the Milk Flex Fund to help dairy farmers cope with price volatility by providing them with flexible loan arrangements. Ms McGuinness says new methods are needed to provide funding for farmers.
The farm price and income volatility reality, if you like, is making us all think outside the box. We have to find ways of making it cheaper for farmers to borrow money so that they can make repayments. Certainly, the current volatility and disastrous prices that farmers are facing make it essential that we all begin to look at other possibilities, because the traditional banking model is perhaps not fit for purpose. But secondly, there's also a requirement on our banks who currently finance farmers to be more in tune to the realities facing farmers and to be sensitive.
The Taoiseach has every right to warn about the negative impacts of the UK leaving the EU. So says the Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly, who was responding to assertions by pro-Brexit campaigners that the Irish government was scaremongering and interfering in British domestic affairs. Mr Kelly says Enda Kenny is obliged to present his views to Irish people living in Britain, given the possible consequences of a Brexit for both countries.
Why shouldn't the neighbours of the United Kingdom comment, especially our Taoiseach, and particularly when we have almost 500,000 Irish people in the United Kingdom who can vote, we have 6 million in the United Kingdom who are of Irish extraction. So it's only right and proper before a referendum that they would give our view and then let it up to the British people to make up their minds. He was asked his opinion about it in relation to Ireland. I think he'd an obligation to give his honest opinion how it would affect Ireland, because it's going to have a huge impact on Ireland.
Une photo, une date, c'était n'y pas croire. C'était pourtant hier, mentir et ma mémoire. Et ses visages d'enfant, et le mien dans ce miroir. Oh, c'est pas pour me plaindre, ça vous n'avez rien à craindre. La vie m'a tellement gâtée, j'ai plutôt du mal à l'éteindre. Oh mon Dieu, j'ai eu ma part, et bien plus à tant d'égards. Mais quand on vit trop beau, trop fort, on en oublie le temps qui passe. Comme on perd un peu le nord au milieu de trop vastes espaces. À peine le temps de s'y faire, à peine on doit laisser la place. Ou si je pouvais encore un soir, encore une heure, encore une larme de bonheur, une faveur comme une fleur, un souffle, une erreur, un peu de nous. Se dire encore ou bien se taire en regard. Juste un report, à peine encore, même s'il est tard. J'ai jamais rien demandé, ça c'est pas la mer à boire. Allez, face à l'éternité, ça va même pas se voir. Ça restera entre nous, au juste un léger retard. Y'en a tant qui tuent le temps, tant et tant qu'ils le perdent ou le passent. Tant qu'ils se mentent, inventant les rêves en des instants de grâce. Où je donne ma place au paradis, si l'on m'oublie sur terre. Encore hier, encore au soir, encore une heure, encore une. Comme une fleur, un souffle, une erreur. Un peu de nous, rien de tout. Pour tout se dire encore ou bien se taire en regard. Juste un report, à peine encore. Je sais, il est tard. C'est pas grand chose. Temps, les horloges se reposent.
baiser. Encore un soir, encore une heure, un peu de nous, un rien de tout. Un soir.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Irish for Europe is a civic campaign established under the aegis of the European Movement to secure Britain's future in the European Union. Of particular concern to the campaign is the impact a Brexit would have on Northern Ireland and its relationship with us here in the South. On the line now to tell us a little bit more about all this is Communications Director with Irish for Europe, David Darcy. David, we hear at the moment, well, there's conflicting sort of polls out at the moment, but at one stage there, up until this morning, the Leave campaign in mainland Britain were marginally in the lead. But what is the case in Northern Ireland at the moment?
Northern Ireland looks to be fairly split down the middle, although a recent survey by business, the Chamber of Commerce in Northern Ireland, found that 81% of people in business in Northern Ireland wanted to stay in. That's partly because Northern Ireland is hugely reliant on trade with the EU, so the business community are very concerned up there.
Okay, and again, now, as you say, in business communities, but in the general population, in your, you know, with your organisations dealing with them, is it, is there cause for hope there, or are you a bit despondent?
There definitely is. I mean, our dealings are with Irish people in the UK overall, and so we've been dealing with, you know, we've been on the ground leafleting and meeting people at GAA matches, that kind of thing. And Irish people in general are very supportive of the Remain. There's a mixture. You know, there are those who are for Leave as well. But in general, most Irish people would see the benefits of the integration of the EU and, you know, the integration of our two countries. I think they see the strong relationship that we have with the EU and the strong relationship that we have with the UK. And they understand that a Brexit could rupture that in certain ways.
Right, and I suppose again, I mean, there's only a certain amount that the Irish population in England and in the UK will have on the overall outcome. But in their dealings with the, you know, with the exit sort of campaign, is there frustration as to? I mean, it seems to me like a lot of people have already made up their mind, and there's no change in their mind from, you know, no matter what people say. Is that the general consensus you're getting?
In fact, the Irish represent about 10% of the electorate.
Yeah.
So we're talking about first-generation Irish, which is up to 600,000. And then once you go into the second and third generations, you're going into the millions. So it is Irish is a significant proportion of the electorate.
Yeah.
And we would say that in a race as close as this, the Irish could make the difference. And it's been a long drawn out debate, but within it we would say that the Irish question, although we've done our best, and I think we've had some impacts with our work with Bob Geldof and Mary McAleese and videos that we've put out about the border, I think we are making an impact, and the Irish story is going out there. But I think that the Irish constituency can make a difference, because the Irish constituency have a very strong understanding of why it is important to be part of other things, to be part of the EU.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And they also have an understanding that, you know, the relationship we have with the UK is at an all-time high when we look at the Queen's visit to Ireland and our President's visit to the UK. I mean, people were just so ecstatic about that. And I think it's because we've had so many decades of strife and trouble that to finally reach this point, Irish people don't really want to kind of risk that in any way.
Yeah, indeed. But I mean, obviously, a lot of people say that the UK would be able to reach the same type of agreements that Norway and Switzerland have made with the EU, and that we had a certain element, certainly as regards freedom of movement and things like that. There was no, we didn't even need a passport before we joined the EU to move in and out of England. A lot of people would say again that there's going to be some sort of political movement made and arrangements and agreements made that, you know, they don't really need to be worried too much about it. What's the general feeling on that?
Well, the Leave campaign, like, their main argument is about migration. okay, and they want to close
borders. Migration from the Eastern European states seems to be the big thing as well. They're specific about their migration as well, aren't they?
Yeah. So if Norway and Switzerland, they have an existing trade agreement, so they stay in the single market, or they're part of the single market. But in order to do that, they have to sign up to exactly the same freedom of movement rules that we have at the moment. So the Leave campaign are saying, on the one hand, they want to stop migration, but on the other hand, they want to stay trading. Now, if they do that, if they want to have the same arrangement that Norway has, for example, then they can do nothing about migration, because the rules are, if you want to trade, you have to allow the freedom of movement for EU citizens.
Indeed, yeah.
So that's the contradiction, and that's where the Leave campaign are frankly being quite disingenuous about everything, because they can't have it all. You can't leave the club and then expect to have the same kind of trade benefits. And it's an impossibility, because essentially what will happen is, if they leave, they'll be outside of the club, and it'll be like trading with, you know, countries that are outside of the EU. So it'll be like trading with Turkey or you know, country or China or countries like that, but they will not get the same trade deal. So that's something that we've found rather frustrating, you know, that they're kind of pretending that Leave offers it all to people, but it doesn't. In fact, it doesn't. And I think that's very unfair on the electorate.
Indeed. The other thing, David, that I've come across, a lot of people have said to me as well, is maybe this is a wake-up call for certainly businesses here in Ireland as well, that we have become too reliant on the UK market and too reliant on UK businesses and things like this, and that now we need to sort of reevaluate maybe what we've been doing, and maybe you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and maybe businesses need to, you know, even if there is even if the UK decide to remain, maybe it's time that the businesses sort of looked at themselves and thought, well, there is a bigger Europe out there, maybe we need to expand a little bit more. Are we making the, you know, in the event of remain or go, because they are go, is Irish the communities, are they making arrangements, or are they preparing for maybe a slightly tougher battle and a less reliance on the UK market, or, you know, are they just hoping for the best?
Well, I would fully agree with you, John. I think this is a wake up call for Irish business. They realise how reliant they are. UK is our largest trading partner. Every week we trade 1.2 billion over the Irish Sea, and you know, the best reports, IBEX report and the ESRI today, both talking about the effect of Brexit. IBEX reckons that this trade, 1.2 billion, could be hit by as much as 20%. And for a fledgling recovery that we're having, that's the kind of economic bomb that we just couldn't withstand. You know, so I think we are kind of beginning to understand, and business is beginning to understand that perhaps there's too much. But it makes sense that we would have such a strong trading relationship. They are our close neighbours and partners.
Yeah.
And you know, all going well, come the vote, you know, we would continue to trade there. It is the logical thing to do. Unfortunately, there's a level of political instability in the UK that suggests that perhaps we shouldn't have all our eggs in that basket.
And, I mean, is there a situation, has there been talk that even in the event of a Brexit, that Ireland North and South can come to some sort of specific, unique agreement then that would, you know, not necessarily tie the North in with the rest of the UK? I mean, is there... it might sound like a bit of skullduggery, but is there any sort of sense of that going on?
Well, I mean, so again, this is something that the Leave campaign have been maintaining. First of all, you know, you talk about the border, okay, and this is something that's very, very important to Irish for Europe. If the UK leave, and if the Leave campaign are successful in their objectives, we're looking at a definite hardening of the border with Northern Ireland. Why is that? Because the UK will then be in a different customs union. They'll have a different customs arrangement, and that means you're going to have to definitely have customs checks at the border.
Right.
That's point number one. Point number two is that the Leave campaign are seeking to have increased migration checks. And if you're going to have that, then you're going to have passport checks at the border.
Yep.
Now, further to your point, John, yeah, there is a kind of a standing agreement where Irish and UK citizens enjoy the freedom to travel over each other's borders without ID. But if the UK leaves, what happens to the French and the Italians and the Germans that cross that border?
Yes, indeed.
So 30,000 people cross that border every day. And, you know, how are you going to identify, you know, the British guy or the Irish woman who's crossing? We're looking at a definite check system. And that, for us, in terms of the progress of the Good Friday Agreement and the incredible harmony that our island is enjoying at the moment, that for us is a serious retrograde step. And again, it's something that, you know, the Leave campaign, they just kind of dance around and say it'll be fine. It's not going to be fine. The realities are, it's a very serious thing if they leave. There's going to be a different customs union. There's going to be migration checks if Leave are serious about what they want to do.
Indeed, indeed. The campaign is called Irish for Europe. It'll run, I suppose, right up until the day of the election.
Until the day of the election.
I don't know what you're going to do after that, David, but anyway.
Well, look, what we're doing is we're talking to Irish people in Ireland. We're talking to Irish people in the UK. Irish people unusually have a vote in this. Irish people who are based in the UK have a vote in this. And we're asking your listeners and Irish people to consider the arguments that we're putting forward.
Yes.
Brexit is Irish business. It has a serious impact on Ireland. And we're asking your listeners, if you've got friends, loved ones, whatever, just get on the phone, have a chat with them, and just, you know, put that argument forward. It hasn't really played very largely in the UK media, but, you know, we need to put that forward. And who knows, you know, with 10% of the electorate, maybe the Irish are the ones who are going to bring it over the line.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
David, listen, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us this morning. We'll probably have a recap with you maybe even after the election and
That'd
see what's
great,
going
yeah.
on and
yeah.
see where we go from there. But anyway, for the moment, David Darcy with the Irish for Europe campaign. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, David.
All the best.
Unerträglich blau. Die Wolken ziehen gen Westen. Oder ich weiß nicht so genau. Die Jungen spielen Gitarre. Die Alten spielen Schach. Langsam grau. Im Rückspiegel seh ich Flammen. Aber ich schau nicht so genau. Ich lass mein Fenster runter. Spür frischen Wind in meinen Haaren. Dreh die Musik ein bisschen lauter. Scheiße. Was du denkst.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to David Darcy, Communications Director with the Irish for Europe campaign. If you want to get in contact with the programme, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. 087-977-1032. And of course, you can also get in contact with us through the web. Please check out our support website platform, europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to the various items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme, Europe Today.